Amen. Hallelujah.
Good to have visitors with us this morning, all the way from Texas. Hallelujah. Give them a big howdy. Praise the Lord.
That's true.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 16. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Father, we thank you for your word, Father. God, we ask you to open our hearts, our minds, to receive what you have for us, Father. God, we ask you to bless your word in Jesus' name. You may be seated. So here's this young man, came to Jesus, sincerely came to Jesus, and he asked him what he had to do to have eternal life. And Jesus, in all of his wisdom, and he knew just what to say, how to say it, when to say it, why to say it. And so he said, keep the commandments. And so the young ruler said, which? And so Jesus gave him this list of six things. Did you ever read that?
Yes.
And wonder, where's the other one? See, all six of these things, if you look at them, that was the last six. The first four has to do with our relationship with God. The last six has to do with our relationship in the natural or with other people. And so I believe that Jesus knew that he kept these. And so he said, well, yeah, here's what you're doing. Well, I've done that. In other words, I'm a good person. I've done what I need to do. And Jesus says, well, if you really want life, whatever you have that's valuable to you, you know, it could have been physical things like finances, gold, silver, whatever, or it could have been the spiritual thing that he was doing, that he put where his treasure was, you know. And he says, well, just get rid of that. Sell it, give it to the poor. And come and follow me. Well, that sounds easy enough. He's, after all, he asked what he had to do, right? And she says, well, here it is. And said that the rich young ruler went away sorrowful. A lot of things that seem so simple to do, why are they so hard? For different people, it's different things, right? But why are they so hard? In John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. Or when you keep your commandments, it proves that you love me. John 14, 21. Well, the title of the message. Anybody wants the title? Title of the message is Pure Love. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them or doeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How many want Jesus to manifest him to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he does a lot of times and we miss it. But yeah, we want everything, right? Hallelujah. So we're talking about love. Pure love. You know, last week, what was the title of the message last week? Oh, I see. Leaving in the papers.
Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. and we knew that. We know that, right? We've experienced that. We've experienced his love for us. But it's a two-way street. Something like marriage, after all. Doesn't the Bible compare marriage to, you know, the bride and the bridegroom and the church and Jesus, you know? And so it's a two-way street. You know, we all want love. Everyone wants love, right?
Amen.
But we got to give love too.
Amen.
And so there's very few things that are so universal and also so challenging. Love. Have you ever gone on the internet and looked up to see how many songs was ever written are about love? Most of them are. I haven't been able to find numbers because it's just vast enough. But most of the songs written are about love. In some way, about love. You've heard the song, Do You Love Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. All kinds of songs about love, you know. But, you know, do we have love for God? Do we really, really love God? After all, that's the first commandment, right? Mm-hmm. To love God. In Mark 12, 29 to 30, you know, it gives us that commandment. And in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it portrays love for God, as necessary to enjoy God's sustained favor. How many want God's favor? Absolutely, we want God's favor. Hallelujah. Paul declares, all things work together for good only for those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. Do you ever think about it that way? In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, now listen to the words. You shall love the Lord your God With all your heart.
All your mind.
With all your soul.
With all your strength.
And with all your might. Some translations say strength.
Amen.
Right. But you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Every bit of us love God. Now, how many do everything with your all? How many of you have ever been hunting and you're trying to chase out a rabbit or something? Here's this brush pile or this briar patch. And do we go in there? Do we do everything? Or do we sort of give it a shake and go on? Now, there's some people, they will go in them briar patches, they will go in them brush piles, and they'll come out looking like they was in a war. They do it with their all. But, you know, how often do we not put our all into things? If we're truthful. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to look back on my life and say, what if I had done it with my all? What if I had believed God with my all? What if I had trusted God with my all? How many times have I missed it? With unbelief, with wavering, with doubt, whatever, or just tired. How many has ever been tired? And so, we just don't do something with our all. Hallelujah. Some people have tagged, there's a supreme command of this Deuteronomy 6:5 as the all command. Because of the threefold all. There's no, in the kingdom of heaven, there is no room for divided affections or allegiance. As Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Who are you going to serve? Joshua said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. You going to serve good or evil? You going to choose life or death? He said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Choose life. God's always saying, choose life. When something comes up and you need to make a choice, God's always saying, choose life. Choose what leads to life. Not what feels good for the minute, but what leads to life. Amen? In Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's right before 6:5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So if indeed there's one God who stands supremely powerful and valuable, this demands a supreme and total loyalty from you and me. A loyalty that starts with the heart. Remember in the Bible where it says that David was the gold standard, right? David was a man after God's own heart. Boy, that's pretty good. I wouldn't mind having that in my epitaph. Man after God's own heart. Hallelujah. So number one, loving with all our heart. So what's it mean to love with all our heart? How many want to love God with everything? With all. You know, Old Testament, as well as New Testament, recognizes the spiritual relationship with God that comes from the heart.
It begins within. We like to start it on the outside. God starts it on the inside. Hallelujah. Starts. It begins from within with a proper dispensation toward the preeminent Savior, Sovereign, and Satisfier. In Proverbs 4:23, from the heart flow springs of life. If your heart's right, your mind's going to be right, your mouth's going to be right. How many want to speak life? How many have caught themselves speaking death to things? See, the power of death and life is in the tongue. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart's important. Amen? Without one's will, desires, passion, affection, perception, and thoughts rightly aligned, the life of love is impossible. So if we want this life of love in us, our will, our desires, our passions, affection, perceptions, and thoughts need to be rightly aligned. Anybody ever find their thoughts wandering out of line? Meandering here and there? Playing hide and seek? Yeah, but God wants everything to be in line. God's a God of order. Moses calls Israel to know in your heart. When Moses, speaking to the people, he said, in your heart, because he realized. And also he said, lay it to heart. Talking about the heart. In Deuteronomy 4:39, he said, there is no God besides Yahweh. And in Deuteronomy 6:6, and to ensure that his words be on your heart. Jeremiah 33 was anticipating the miraculous heart work that the new covenant would realize. The prophets spoke so much about the heart. And so Jeremiah, he was speaking about the new heart that God was going to place within us. How many have had a heart transplant? When we're born again, we get a heart transplant. You see, they'll take the stony, hard heart. Anybody in here have it? In the BC, before Christ, have a hard heart. And then we come to God. And sure enough, just like his word said, old things pass away. The old heart goes. And now, okay, I'll give you an example. How many of you, before you came to the Lord, you had that hard, stony heart? And then you came to God, give your heart to him. He said, I'll trade you. And so we give him our old, hard, crusted over heart. And he, it's like he's holding out both hands, right? He said, give me your heart and I'll give you a new one. And so we come to the Lord. And we come, you know, our life changes. And now we gather with the saints. to worship God, to praise God, to just commune with God. In other words, we come to church. And now, instead of this hard, stony heart, all we want to do is weep before God. Come into His presence, and we're just, no idea why, but the tears just flow. That's the new heart. That's a soft heart. That's a tender heart towards the things of God. Hallelujah. Number two, loving God with all our soul. So along with our hearts, we're called to love Yahweh with all our soul. In the first five books of the Old Testament, the soul refers to one's whole being as a living person, which includes one's heart, but so much more. In Genesis 2:7, it tells us that Yahweh God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils life, the breath of life. And man became a living soul or a living creature. Just think, we was just dust. We don't like to think of that, do we? And then God breathed into us. He formed us. And he, back many, many years ago, and he breathed into Adam, right? Life. This week we're going to be going into the fair. And we're going to be helping out in the booth for Bedford County Concerned Citizens for Life. And what we do, we have this little baby, real soft. It's a little plastic baby. It's just small, 12 weeks, completely formed. And so we just pass them out to people. And kids just love them. It's amazing. 10, 12-year-old teenagers, they will just come and they will just get their little baby, you know. And we say, that's how big you were when you were 12 weeks old in your mom's belly. And they say, wow. Just amazed. You know, you would think kids, what would they care? But they do. And they look at that. And you can tell them, that's a perfectly formed baby. That's life. That's a baby, not just something. That's a baby. Hallelujah. And so we're gonna promote, you know, that, you know, abortion isn't the answer. Life's precious. And somebody will help you raise this baby. Hallelujah. So Moses starts with a call to love God from within, and then he moves one step larger, saying that everything about us as a person is to declare that Yahweh is Lord. So we're to love God with all of our passions, all of our hungers, our perceptions, our thoughts, but we're also to love Him with how we talk and what we do with our hands and how we utilize our talents and how we react to challenges. Anybody ever challenged? How do we react to them? Our entire being is to display that we love the Lord. Every day when we go out into the marketplace, to work, wherever, do we demonstrate that we love God? Does everybody know, just by the way you act, the way you talk, what you do, how you do it, why you do it, do they know that you love God.
That's a good question, isn't it?
We're on display. Our life's an open book. How many want to witness to your neighbors? Is your life a witness or just our words? Should be our whole life.
Hallelujah.
Number three, loving with all our might or all our strength. So what's the meaning of loving God with all our might? The word translated might or strength in Deuteronomy 6:5 usually functions as the adverb very in the Old Testament. It's like 298 times it's translated as very. The noun version occurs in Deuteronomy and only one other place, which itself is just an echo of our passage. In 2 Kings 23:25, we're told that King Josiah, how many remember King Josiah? He was a godly king, awesome king. King Josiah turned to Yahweh, to God, with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. Is it any wonder that King Josiah was blessed? Is it any wonder that the people under King Josiah were blessed? The blessings flow from the head down, right? And so when King Josiah sought God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, can you imagine here's Daddy up in heaven. How many have a Daddy in heaven? Hallelujah. Abba Father. And so here's Josiah. And he's determined to let nothing stand in his way, to seek God, to love God. You know, a lot of times we seek God. How many have ever sought God? A lot of times it's for something. But how many have sought to love God? Have you ever opened up your Bible? God, I just want to love you. I just want to pour out my love on you. You just sit there, Daddy. You just sit down, Daddy, and I just want to love on you. I just want you to feel special. Not just for 5 minutes, but from now on, I just want you to be so proud of me, to know that your son or daughter just loves you. Just can't get enough of you. Just adores you. Isn't that cool? Can you imagine a big grin on his face? That's my son. That's my daughter. Hallelujah. So if the word usually means very, what would it mean to love the Lord with our veriness? Interesting, the Greek translation of this word is power. The Aramaic translation is wealth. Both of these may actually be pointing in the same direction. For the strength of a person is not simply who he is, but what he has at his disposal. If Moses' call to love Yahweh starts in the heart and moves to our being, could not our veriness be one step bigger and include all our resources? This means that the call to love God is not only with our physical muscle. How many have physical muscles? Yeah. But with everything we have available for honoring God, which includes our spouse, our children, our house, our clothes, tools, cell phone, movies, music, computers, and time. That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? In all those things, do we love and honor God with every category? How many would be willing to say, God, show me? David said, the heart's deceitful. Maybe like the rich young ruler. Well, I've done all that. But how does God see me? God, let me look through your eyes. Let me see my life through your eyes, God. Now, that's a challenge. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 stresses that treasuring God's oneness and uniqueness needs to be personally applied to our lives. It needs to impact relationships. How many want to impact relationships? I think we all do. How many have some relationships that need impacted? Yeah, absolutely. I think we all do. In some, whether it's family, friends, what business, whatever, there's relationships that we need to impact for Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. So in Deuteronomy 6:9, not only relationship, but what goes on at home and at the workplace. All those different areas. Are we impacting them with the love of God? Do people know that we really love God? It means that the covenant love that we're called to, how many know that when you get married, you make a covenant? It's not just an agreement, it's a covenant. And it's a covenant of love. And when we come to Jesus, we're making a covenant of love, right? We're called to be wholehearted, life-encompassing, community-impacting, exclusive commitment to our God. And this God is our God only because He has now revealed Himself to us in the person of His Son. This kind of love we should have for Him doesn't exist apart from love for Jesus. In John 10:30 it says, for Jesus and the Father are one. Hallelujah. So what does that all that mean? Well, look at it this way. It means that every closet of our lives, how many have, just like in your house, you have rooms, closets. Sometimes we stuff them full of stuff. So every closet of our lives need to be opened for cleaning. And every relationship in our lives must be influenced. So how many is ready to open up, say, God, you have my permission to go into every closet, every one of my thoughts,
take out anything that is not of you. I don't want it. So this call to love God this way destroys any option. There's only one way, no options, of being one person in church and another person outside of church. What you do on the internet needs to be just as pure as what you do in Bible reading. The way we talk to our family needs to be as wholesome as we talk to our pastors. There needs to be an authentic love for God that starts with God-oriented affections, desires, thoughts, that permeates our speaking and behavior, and that influences the way we spend our money, how we dress, how we drive, and our forms of entertainment. Whether we're eating or singing, jogging or blogging, texting or drawing, love for Yahweh, the one true triune God, is to be an action and scene. And everybody said, amen. That's what we want. That's what we're going to do, right? God, people are only going to see the love of God in us. Nothing else. The old man's dead and gone, right? He's buried. Only the new man. That's what we need. To love God is to enjoy God's sustained favor. To me, that sounds like eternal life. When does eternal life start? When you're born again. Hallelujah. So when we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, we have God's favor. God loves to give good things to his children. I think a lot of times we sidetrack some of God's good things. We miss them because of whatever. Mark 12:20, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Testament, New Testament. Love the Lord your God with all. There was, I believe this come from a pastor in Africa. And here's what he said. I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My presence makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be first. I don't have to be right, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set. My goal is fast. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up, or burn up till I preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he stops. And when it comes to get his own, he'll have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear. Hang that in your refrigerator door. Say, devil, take that. That's because of our love for God. We'll do all these things. Hallelujah. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. A lot of people start the race. Not everybody finishes. Revelation 2:1. Unto the angel of the Lord at Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. How many have that passionate, burning desire for Jesus when you was first born again? So easy to let things slip away. So subtly, they can just, without even realizing that we just don't have that passion, that burning desire, like Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. It is so easy to let that passion, to let the fire burn down. But God's always saying, come back. Come back. He's never satisfied when we stay away. He's always saying, come back. Our love for God, pure love. It's what God wants, pure love. Gwen's going to come and play.